Matthew chapter 12. Soon afterwards, Jesus was walking through the cornfields on the Sabbath. The disciples were hungry, so they began to pick some of the ears of corn and eat the grain. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by doing that on the Sabbath." Well, in the law of Moses, it said that if you walked through somebody's cornfield, the poor, could pick some of the ears of corn and rub them in their hands and make wheat out of it and eat it. But they were not to actually harvest the whole field, of course. So it just shows how poor they were. The fact that they were making use of that command under the law of Moses shows they were poor. And Jesus himself was poor, and many of the disciples were poor. Not all of them, but the majority. And as the Bible says, to the poor the gospel is preached. Jesus himself said that. So then, the idea of being a rich Christian is almost a bit of a contradiction. Because Jesus says that, to the poor the gospel is preached, and he also says that it's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That it's easier for a camel to go through the little gate called the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Well, if you want to enter the kingdom of God above all things, you better not seek to be rich. God has promised that all these things will be added unto you.
He was very rich, he was proud and died.
That's right, well done. The parable of the rich fool. That there was a rich man who was always thinking about building bigger barns to put all his wealth, and then suddenly he died. And he was thinking only about himself, and therefore what a miserable, wasted life that was. So the disciples were poor, and the Pharisees were watching as they walked through that cornfield, and they saw what they were doing, and they said, you're doing it on the Sabbath. That is work. That is grinding at the mill. Well, it wasn't at the mill, but that's how they were arguing. Jesus replied, "Have you never read what David did? The time when he and his men were hungry, he went into the house of God, and he and his men ate the showbread. Although it was against the law for them to do so, because only the priests were allowed to eat of the showbread. Or haven't you ever read in the law that every Sabbath the priests in the temple must in fact break the Sabbath law, and yet they're not guilty? And I tell you, there is in this place something greater than the temple." That's Jesus. "The scripture says that God seeks mercy and not sacrifice. If you truly knew what that meant, you would not condemn people who are innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord also on the Sabbath." You notice that he says to them, "Have you never read?" And yet when he talks to the ordinary people, he says, "Have you not heard?" So most of the people couldn't read, but the Pharisees could read. And so he says, "Have you never read?" Whereas to the people, he says, "Have you never heard?" And the fact there are, in fact, in my opinion, no contradictions in the Bible in that sense. There are things we don't understand that might appear a paradox or an intentional contradiction, but the Bible has a great internal kind of consistency. The way he says to the Pharisees, "Have you never read?" And he says to the people, "Have you not heard?" Or, "You have heard that it was said." Things like that, because they had just heard the Old Testament read to them. So Jesus went on from that place and entered a synagogue where there was a man with a withered hand. That is, the hand had been paralyzed somehow. There were those there who wanted to accuse Jesus of doing wrong, and so they gave him the question, "Does it break our law to heal on the Sabbath?" You see how they talk about our law. It was God's law, but they turned it effectively into our law. Like in the Old Testament, you keep on reading about the feasts of the Lord. But in the New Testament, it talks about the feasts of the Jews. In the Old Testament, it calls the temple the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But in the New Testament, it talks about the temple of the Jews. So they'd kind of hijacked God's religion, God's way, for themselves and turned it into their little religion. So they say, our law rather than God's law. Is it against our law to cure somebody on the Sabbath? Jesus replied, if one of you has a sheep and it falls into a deep hole on the Sabbath, won't you take hold of it and lift it out? And how much more is a man worth more than a sheep? So then, it is allowed by the law to do good on the Sabbath. And so he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand, and it was cured and made whole just like his other hand. The Pharisees left and planned to kill Jesus. How sad that they wanted to kill Jesus when he'd done so much good. And that's the trouble. When you do good to people, very often they hate you. And as Jesus said, you should not say, my eye will be evil because you are good. But that is what happens. You go out into this world and do good. And there are a certain type of person who gets provoked to really hate you because of it. When Jesus knew their plans to kill him, he left that place and large crowds followed him, and he healed all those who were in need of healing, and yet he told them not to tell others about him. He did this in order to fulfill what God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will announce my judgment to the Gentiles. He will not argue nor shout, nor shall his voice be heard in the streets. He will not break a reed that is already bent, nor put out an oil lamp that is flickering. He will keep on until he causes justice to triumph, and in him shall the Gentiles put their trust. So when Jesus sees weak faith, that is a reed that is bent or a oil lamp that is flickering, he doesn't just say, I'll put it out. He tries to fan it into life. He has the cup half full rather than cup half empty attitude to people. Then some people brought to Jesus a man who was blind and also couldn't talk. Jesus healed the man so that he was able to talk and to see, and the crowds were amazed and said, could not this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they replied, he drives out demons only because the prince of the demons, Beelzebub, gives him the power to do so. He's in league with this Beelzebub that they believed in. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He's very perceptive of people's thoughts. And he likewise looks very carefully at our thoughts, because it is to be spiritually minded, which is the basis of Christianity. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said to them, a nation divided against itself into groups who warred against each other will not stand. And any city or any family or house that is divided into groups which fight against each other is going to fall. And so, if in Satan's kingdom one group is fighting against another, this means that his kingdom is divided and will fall. You say that I drive out demons because I am in league with Beelzebub. Well, by whom then do your sons drive out demons? What your own followers are doing therefore demonstrates that you're wrong. It is through the Spirit of God and not by Beelzebub that I drive out demons, and that shows that the kingdom of God has come to you. So that's very true, that a house divided against itself will fall. And so when there is division in a church or in a family, it's going to fall. And it is only the true kingdom of God which is not divided, God's true people who are not divided against themselves. This is the sin of division in any form. And you also see how he answers them. He doesn't believe in Beelzebub. Beelzebub doesn't exist. But he talks for one moment as if Beelzebub does. He uses their own logic. He says, okay, so if there is a Beelzebub and you say that I'm like in league with him and you say that he's given me power to do these miracles, well, wait a minute, if Beelzebub is actually in control of the demons, then what? I'm fighting against my own side. So he is very gentle in the way that he deals with them. He doesn't just boldly say, ah, this is wrong, what you're saying. He uses their own logic against them. Nobody can break into the house of a strong man and spoil his goods unless he first ties up the strong man, and then he can take the plunder from his house. And so Jesus is the one who has tied up the devil, that is a personification for sin and temptation in all its ways. Anyone who is not for me is against me, and whoever does not help with me in the harvest is scattering. And so I tell you the truth, that all sin may be forgiven, and all blasphemy can be forgiven, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. Anyone who says something against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but what is said against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven, now nor ever. Well, I think the idea of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is when you see the hand of God openly, as these people were seeing in the miracles, and you refuse to believe it. And I think the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is, in effect, saying, I don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to be forgiven. I don't want to be saved. And so you won't be. It's as simple as that. But you can always repent at any time. To have good fruit on you means that you are a good tree. But a bad tree will have bad fruit. And so a tree is known by its fruit. You generation of vipers, how can you say good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why I keep saying, it's what you think about in your heart which is so important. Because that gives rise to your words and to your actions. And Christianity is about having God's Spirit, that is, thinking in His way, and having the Spirit of Christ. And that's why Paul says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that is what Christianity is about how you think, about being spiritually minded. And that's why you've got to be careful what music you listen to, etc., because there's a saying that garbage in, garbage out. If you listen to stupid words, you're going to go around repeating them. What's going around in your head is all that rubbish that you've been listening to on the radio or something you've watched on a screen or whatever. So that's why we should have God's word going round in our heads. And we've got plenty of opportunities to have that. That's why the things we watch, the things we listen to, should help us in being spiritually minded. So then, this is the way then to have good fruit. Then some teachers of the law and Pharisees spoke up. Teacher, they said, we want to see a sign from you. That is, we want to see a miracle. Well, look, he'd done plenty of miracles. And so they were again being difficult. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign. But the only sign that will be given to you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the big fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And at the last day, the people of Nineveh will stand up in the judgment with this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And I tell you that here is someone greater than Jonah. On the day of judgment, the Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba, who came to visit Solomon, will stand up in the judgment and condemn you, because she came from a far country to hear Solomon's teaching. And I tell you that in this place is one greater than Solomon. So then, all the time, you get the idea that there is a future day of judgment, and those who are going to come to it are those who have lived in this life down the years. They will be resurrected. The Queen of Sheba will be there. The men of Nineveh will be there. The people of the time of Jesus will be there. And we will also be there. Whilst Jesus was still talking to the people, his mother and his brothers stood outside the house wanting to speak to him. So somebody said to him, Your mother and brothers are standing outside the house wanting to speak to you. But Jesus replied, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he pointed around to his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. It must have been so painful for Mary to hear that, and also maybe his brothers and sisters, because he's saying, Look, I've come to make a new family. And it's that new family, which is not based on the fact that you're physically brothers and sisters. It's that which is the basis of the true church of Jesus.